We continue our study tonight on the character of God. This is our 15th session. It's unbelievable it's already that many. Our 15th session on the character of God. As Spurgeon said, remember, there's a wondrous power connected with the character of God. The more you regard it, the more you'll be conformed to it. The more you regard it, the more you'll be conformed to it. So I pray that, you know, as we discuss this, it isn't just an increase in knowledge, terminology, but it's also an increase of knowing God intimately and then following Him, loving Him, obeying Him. The immutability of God. God is unchangeable. God always stays the same. It was 1965, and Martin Lloyd-Jones published the book. It's one of his most circulated books ever. It's entitled Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. It is amazing to me when I read of the great men of God, how many have gone through periods of depression, whether it's Andrew Fuller, whether it's Charles Spurgeon, whether it's Martin Lloyd-Jones, etc. And what happened was, it was June of 1949, and Martin Lloyd-Jones experienced depression. He couldn't study. He couldn't compile notes. He just felt he couldn't give sermons. He was just totally out of it. And so what he did was, he went back to his Welsh roots. He went out to a friends of theirs, a farm in Wales, and it had horses. And basically what he did was, he groomed and cared for horses over the summer of 1949, took a leave of absence from the pulpit. September 11th, 1949, he was back in the pulpit, and his text was Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And there's a copy of the notes he had. They're very haphazard in that. They're just not organized as they normally are with his. But it was interesting. At the bottom of the page of his notes was the second verse of the hymn, The Solid Rock. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest in what? His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, his anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, in over 30 years of ministry at Westminster Chapel in London, England, that sermon was his number one sermon as far as requests from people for tapes and for circulation. That sermon. We sang about God's immutability tonight in the hymn Immortal, Invisible. To all life thou givest, to both great and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. So we grow old, we age. God never changes. He's always the same. He's always the same. Think of this hymn we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. One of my favorite hymns is Abide With Me, and the verse 2. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Great hymn based on Psalm 90, a hymn that is sung at New Year's. It is also sung at funerals. Know what hymn it is? Based on Psalm 90, sung at funerals, sung at New Year's. Amen. The verse 2, Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame. From everlasting, thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills. Come. And then there's another hymn. His love, no end or measure knows. No change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows from one eternal source. How about this one we sing? Jesus never fails. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you. One who never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. So what are some verses then that have to do with God's immutability? Turn with me to James 1:17. James 1:17. We're going to look up a few verses here before we go any farther. James 1:17. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. So in other words, God is immutable. Turn with me to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. Right before there, right across the page, Hebrews 13:8. What does it say of Jesus? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, what else does it say about Jesus? Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. Last book of the Bible, Revelation 1:8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, what does that mean? He's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. He's the beginning and the end, and that's a Hebrew merism, which means what? God knows all things. He knows all things. He's omniscient. He's omniscient, all-knowing. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What does that mean? That means that he's eternal. He's everything in between. He has no beginning, no end. Says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. In other words, same thing. He never changes. He was, is, and is to come. So Jesus was before the world was created. Jesus walked this earth when the world was created. And Jesus now will be long after the world passes away. See? Look at Lamentations. You know where Lamentations is in the Bible? This is after Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. These are the two verses on which the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, is based. You might know this, but historically in 1956, remember when the missionaries were killed by the Auca Indians down in Ecuador? And Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot was one of those that was killed. And Elizabeth Elliot said, when those missionary wives were gathered together that first night, and they had the news that their husbands had probably been murdered, all of those women gathered together, and through that night, the song they sang through the whole night was what? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And she said, the truths in that hymn is what held them together and supported them through that night. Lamentations, what does it say? It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. What's the end of that verse say? They are... What? Great is thy faithfulness. Right, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Right. And now, let's turn to Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. last book in what? The Old Testament, Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And the last one is Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. This is the only psalm, remember, that is credited to Moses. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So what does that mean? You see, God is immutable. He never changes. So A.W. Pink, in his book on the attributes of God, says God is immutable. God is immutable. He's unchangeable in three things: his essence, his attributes, and his counsel. His counsel. In his essence, what does that mean? God's being, who he is. We read Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. What title of God expresses that God is unchangeable in his essence? Anybody want to fathom a guess? What title for God? It's in the Old Testament. What title for God tells us his essence is unchangeable? Okay, I'll give you the verse and you tell me what it says. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, what's his name? I am what? I am who I am, right. I am who I am. Okay? Now, I am who I am. God is the eternal present. You see, he never changes. He's always the same. He's above time, and yet he works in time. But he's always the same. He's eternal. Never, no beginning, no end. It doesn't say, I was. I was who I was, okay? And it doesn't say, I will be who I will be. Now, if it says that, what does that mean? If it says that, it would mean that God is changeable, right? And you see, this is what liberals say. Liberal theology, it's called process theology. Process theology. God changes. God changes. Now, I want to get back to that. Make sure I get back to that. I don't forget that, but I'll just stop there for now. But I want to get back to that later. Now, let's look at the next one. God is unchangeable as to his attributes. His attributes. So what does that mean? A.W. Pink says, semper idem. Always the same. Always the same. God's attributes are always the same. They do not change. Now, we know that God's attributes, as we said when we talked about his infinity, if God gives his grace to each one of us are here, okay, does that change God's supply of grace? No. It's infinite. You see, God is never lessened, he's never more. It's infinite. It's infinite. So his attributes are always the same. How about God's counsel? Romans 11:29, it says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Psalm 33:11, It says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to 1,000 generations. It never changes. It never changes. Now, that makes the Bible good. It's always true. Hebrews 6:17 says the immutability of his counsel. The immutability of his counsel. Hebrews 6:17. Hebrews 6:17. Now, what does this mean? For us as believers, it's a comfort. But to unbelievers, it's a terror. Because what does that mean? Well, you know what? God's going to age. And he, if he ages and he gets older, you see, then his strength is going to decrease. And he won't be as strong in his muscles and all of that. So he won't be able to overpower the evil and all that. No. No. God's always the same. He's omnipotent. He has power over everything. How about when God looks at sin? God says he hates sin and he's going to judge sin. Well, is that going to change? Is God's hatred going to change? So that he's going to agree in America now that we don't even mention sin anymore in America, that we don't mention God's judgment or wrath or hell anymore? No. God's always the same. He's going to judge sin the same, whether it's in 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, 2000 some, whatever. See, God stays the same. Now, somebody says, and I wonder if somebody's thinking this. Look up Genesis 6:6. Genesis 6:6. Genesis 6:6. What does it say? What does it say? Coco, you got it? Read it. Genesis 6:6. Okay, he grieved in his heart. God repented. Some translations say God repented. What does it mean, God repented? It means God changed his mind. God changed his mind. He was sorry he made man. Oops. Huh? Isn't that what it means? God repented. God changed his mind. I thought, Pastor, you said that God was unchangeable. He doesn't change. And here Scripture says what? He changes. Let's see if I can find another one here. How about Exodus 32:14? Look that up. Exodus 32:14. Exodus 32:14. Okay. Somebody want to read that? Got it? What does it say? So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he'd do to the people. So he relented. What does that mean? He changed his mind again, huh? He changed his mind. Look at 1 Samuel 15:11. 1 Samuel 15:11. 1 Samuel 15:11, and then we'll also look at verse 29. 1 Samuel 15:11, and then we'll also look at verse 29. 1 Samuel 15:11. God says, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king. He turned back from following me. He's not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, cried out to the Lord all night. So God says, I regret that I made it. Now look at verse 29. The strength of Israel will not relent, for he's not a man that he should relent. What? One verse says he relents, and the next one says he doesn't. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? Is there an error in the Bible? So what does it mean? What does it mean? as to God's character, he never changes. As to God's relationship with humans, he changes. His character never changes, but in his relationship with humans changes. So what does it mean? Like in Jeremiah 18, God tells Israel, you're a bunch of sinners. If you repent of your sin, then I won't judge you. But if you don't repent, I'll judge you. See? God didn't change his mind. It's just that when it comes to human, God changes. See? His personality. He deals with persons, but he doesn't change his character. Now, I'm going to give you some theological terms here, and don't get excited about this, but we're going to list some here. Ontological immutability. Ontological immutability. Boy, that's really bad spelling. Immutability. Okay. Ethical immutability. Absolute immutability. And relational, A-L at the end here, relational mutability. Okay, now let's discuss what all these mean. Ontological immutability. What that means as to God's character, his being, his essence, who God is. I am who I am. God never changes. God never changes. He's always the same. What does ethical immutability mean? That means as to God's moral attributes. His love, his mercy, his kindness, his patience, his wrath, his anger, it never changes. It's always the same. God is unity of essence. Remember, unity of essence, he always acts in all of his attributes at the same time. We already quoted, his love no end or measure knows, no change can turn its course. Eternally the same, it flows from one eternal source. So what does that mean for you and I? Jeremiah 31:3, he's loved us with an everlasting love. See? For those he has chosen. Why did he choose us? He chose us in love. And when God chose us in love, he doesn't change his mind and say, oh, you know that one I love. He sinned. Oh, I don't love him anymore. Oh, get rid of that one. No, he still loves us. He'll always love us. See? Never changes. But God does not have absolute immutability. God does not have absolute immutability because he has relational mutability. Relational mutability. In his character, he never changes. But in his relations with humans, he changes. See? He changes. Now, that's right. Exactly. And those would be the passages, like I quoted Jeremiah 18, that are conditional, where God puts a condition out there. It's the same with all of God's covenants. If you obey me, you get the blessings of the covenant. If you disobey me, you get the curses of the covenant. That's Deuteronomy 28. So God changes then in his relation to you based on whether you obey or you disobey. See? If you obey, you get God's blessings. If you disobey, you get the curses, you get his judgment, his anger, his wrath, and all of that. See? Yeah. Now, what is interesting is that Jonathan Edwards had a sermon. Jonathan Edwards, that's just an abbreviation for Jonathan Edwards. Man, naturally, God's enemy. Man, naturally, God's enemy. That was the title of his sermon. And in that sermon, he listed what attributes of God does the unbeliever hate the most? Okay? Which attributes of God does the unbeliever hate the most? And he listed four. Okay? He listed the holiness of God. Holiness of God. Now that's understandable, isn't it? Anybody in sin, boy, they hate a pure God. A pure God who is sinless and pure. Remember when Bill Clinton had his little episode with his cigar and everything else and the blue dress and Monica Lewinsky, and he's all in his sin and all of that. And what was the thing? Bill Clinton, when all of that sin was going on, his poll ratings went up. And they were interviewing these people on TV, and what were they saying? Oh, I just love President Bill Clinton because he's just like me. He's just like me, see? Somebody in sin I can relate to. Whew. Whoa, this is nice. Somebody that high up and he's sinning like I sin? Oh. Okay, another thing. Omnipresence. Omnipresence of God. You can imagine how an unbeliever hates that. There's no place you can hide from God. God's everywhere. He'll always be everywhere. In Psalm 139, it says, the darkness and the light, they're both alike to God. Somebody thinks, you know, boy, if I could just turn out the lights. Hey, it's in the dark here. Nobody will see me. Doesn't make any difference to God. Whether it's light or dark, he sees everything. Hebrews 4:13, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. Okay, how about this? The omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. That God is all powerful? God's more powerful than the devil? God's more powerful than all the evil in the world? And he'll always be more powerful. You see, he doesn't age. He doesn't change. Oh man, someday God's going to age, he's going to change. So someday he's going to get weak. And then when he's weak, boy, we'll strike then, and boy, then the evil's going to reign. See? And then the last one, number four, the immutability of God. Immutability of God. Now, this is the one, out of all the four, that is the most hated by unbelievers. The most hated attribute of God of unbelievers, Jonathan Edwards says, is the immutability of God. Why is that? Because of God's immutability and being unchangeable, God's holiness never changes, God's omnipresence never changes, his omnipotence never changes. So that's why they hate that the most of all. Now, I said before, I didn't want to drop it. I'm sure Nance was going to bring it up if I didn't say anything. You forgot. Thank you. That's why Nance and I are at the stage of life now where we kid ourselves. We need three heads. Three heads at home. Because what she forgets, then I'm supposed to remember, but I forget, and then she's supposed to. No, it doesn't work. You know, we need a third head. Liberal theology. Okay, what do they say? Now, they say, if God is immutable, he must be immobile. Now, what does immobile mean? He doesn't move. If he's immutable, he doesn't move. Because liberal theology says, if you're alive, that means you're in motion. You're in motion, and that means change. change. So, liberal theology says, I will be what I will be. In other words, God's in the process of changing. And since you say that he's immutable, he must be immobile. Because if you're alive, you're in motion, that means change. Now, what's the response to that? The response to that is God's immutability is not inert. It's not like he's a stone. It's not like he's a stone. Because God is what? God is a person with personality. God is a person with personality. So when God is immutable, you see, his personality, his person, he's always active. He's always on the move without changing. It's not inert like he's a stone. See? It's not inert like he's a stone. Now, the when we look at God's attributes, I was thinking of this the other day. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And let's just take one of God's attributes and see how this plays out. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. What is it? 5:14. What if I got the wrong? Yeah, let's see here. 1 Thessalonians. Oh, I wrote 14, but I said 24. 5:24. There you go. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Now, you know when God says will or shall, when you read that in the Bible, what does that mean? See, that's connected to God's immutability and never change. If God says his will or he shall, it's always the same. That means it'll get done, just as he said. No change. It's like Isaiah 55:11. So shall be the word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, whither I send it. Okay, God said it. That settles it. See, there's no change in it. Okay. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful. How do we know that? How come we're so certain? How come we're so certain that God says he's faithful and he'll also do it? Okay. One reason we know that is Psalm 36:5. It says, God's mercy, God's faithfulness is in the heavens. God's mercy is in the heavens. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God's faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So one reason we can be so certain, see, that God is faithful, he will do it, is because it's infinite. It's infinite. Okay? Now, what's another reason we can be so certain? Is because of God's immutability. Immutability. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, let's see. 2:13. No, 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:13. See what it says there? If we are faithless, what? He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, there we go as far as God's immutability, you see, being a part of why we're so certain. When God says, faithfully he who called you, he will do it. He will do it. Why? Because we know his faithfulness is infinite, his trustworthiness is infinite, and it's also unchangeable. Now, last thing, and then we'll close. Last thing. I came across this quote by Augustus Toplady. Remember, he died in 1778. He wrote the hymn, Rock of Ages. But this is neat. What this means to you and I. This is, let me get this written off. Now I got black fingernails here. Augustus Toplady died 38 years of age. He died in 1778. Here's what he said. All the promises of man to man ought to be conditional. Now, why do we say that? Because man's what? Man changes. Man lies. His word changes. He doesn't stay the same. All of the promises of man to man ought to be conditional. But, he says, it is only for God to make absolute promises. Absolute promises. For he alone is unchangeable and omnipotent. So think what that means for you and I. Just think, there are over 8,000 promises in the Bible. Over 8,000 promises of God in the Bible. What are they? Divine intentions for the future that are sure to God's actions, which bring comfort to his people. Why, when we read God says in the Bible, I will or I shall, why does that bring comfort to us? Because God is unchangeable and omnipotent. See? So only God can make absolute promises. God said it, that settles it. See? Just think of that. Every time you read, I will, God says, I will or I shall. Think of that. He alone can make absolute promises because he's unchangeable and he's omnipotent. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation to us. It discloses things that otherwise would not be made known. We can't imagine, dear Heavenly Father, what it would be like without your Spirit of truth guiding us into truth, without the Holy Bible we hold in our hands that is your word of truth to us. It's our word of sanctification to us, as it says in John 17:17. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we'd have that spiritual understanding from your Holy Spirit indwelling us so that we would know these truths. And by knowing them, dear Heavenly Father, it makes us more intimate with you as far as regarding you, who you are, that we worship you in purity and in truth, that we truly delight in your word, in who you are, in your love for us, your concern for us, and that we can have a security because you are unchangeable and you are omnipotent. And for all of your promises to us, your goodness to us, your grace and mercy, what is the security we have in Jesus and what we have to look forward to? We just thank and praise you for that kind of comfort and confidence that you give us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be people of the word and just to delight in your unchangeableness, your immutability. We just pray also you'll bless our fellowship around the food tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name.